Hi, I'm Monica. I'm a believer who struggles with trust in God, self-worth, financial fear, alcoholism, and control. Let's pray. God, please give me the grace and strength to share my testimony tonight. May it help those with the struggles they are walking through and know you love them regardless of their situations. Amen. Through all my years of experience, I have come to learn that the only place you will find normal is on the dial of a washing machine. Life in the beginning was good, normal compared to my friends. Born and raised Catholic, church-going parents, my life seemed quite like everyone else's. The only thing that seemed odd during this time in my life was when I was around 4 years old on our Sunday outings. Most Sundays after church, we would go to my aunties and uncles to visit. My uncles always wanted me to sit on his lap with my pretty church dress on. Even at that age, I knew the way that he had touched me under my dress was wrong, but he was my loving uncle. One Sunday, my father found out, which led to a huge argument, and that was the last time I ever saw my auntie and uncle again. My parents never addressed this with me. It was something that was never talked about. My normal life came to a halt when I was around 9 years old. We started to spend a lot of time in hospitals, which I would not find out until later was because my father was dying of stomach cancer. This went on for over a year. I idolized my father, and I was his princess. During that year, he went from being a strong man of 6'4", 250 pounds, to a skeleton frame of 98 pounds. I didn't know how to think or react, or even at this time, I did not believe he was going to die. Seeing my dad in the casket was just a blurred vision to me, and I wondered how God could take something that meant so much to me. But in Jeremiah 29:11, it is written, "I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." My life changed drastically the days and years ahead. I found out quickly I was on my own and forced to grow up, leaving my unfinished childhood behind. While I was still in grade school after my father passed away, my mother would come home from work and check out of life by sleeping with Valiums, only to get up in the morning and start all over doing the same routine every single day. Somewhere along the road, she decided to add alcohol to the mixture. Both my brother, 2 years older, and I were forced to survive by trying to please a mother who had such horrible rages against us, physically and mentally. Being daddy's girls early in life, I seemed to get the brunt of her outbursts. After a while, I became numb and cold to the ongoing style of my life at home, constantly tiptoeing around, never bringing home friends, and trying to make everything seem normal. Starting ninth grade, I was sent to an all-girls Catholic high school with a bright future in the plan. I left that school a scared, broken-down, people-pleasing, abused child. See, by this time in my life, not only was my mother mentally abusive, but physically as well. And this motivated me not to let anyone see my inside world. I only shared what I wanted them to believe. When I turned 16, my brother left for the Navy, his way to finally escape, which in turn left me the sole target of my mother's drunken rages. During those rages, I learned quickly how to defend myself when she would walk around at night with knives, threatening to kill me. I learned that no matter how good I did, how hard I tried to please her and change the situation, I would never do anything good enough to appease her, make her happy, or live up to her standards of living. I graduated from St. Augustine's Academy and escaped to Kent State, only to have my mother call me every night in her drunkenness and tell me she was going to commit suicide and it would be my fault. At Kent, I found an escape that I could use from the feelings I did not want to feel by drowning them in beer. It made me get through the night and somehow feel much better about myself in the morning. I did not stay at Kent after the first year and came back home to live with my mother, feeling I could fix her, trying to continue my education through community college. Around this time in my life, I began to struggle with bulimia. My next blow in life came when I was in a car accident with a friend. The family doctor I had grown up with was treating me for injuries. And knowing my mother's desire that I would be extremely thin, along with all about my mother, since he was the one continually prescribing her Valiums, he offered me diet pills. This made me extremely weak, sick, and thin. On one of the office visits to him, I was so sick, I got in his office, and before I knew what happened, I had been raped by him. I put myself back together, mortified, and went on with my life, putting this in my brain that it never really happened, or at some point it was my fault. I was too ashamed to address this with anyone. Years later, though, I read in the news that I was not alone in his office rapes. He eventually lost his medical license due to these type of episodes he had with other patients. And thank you, God, for the strength you gave these women to come forward. Life was changing. I met someone I thought I fell in love with, but it turned out only to be escape from living with the ugliness of my mother. I knew the day of the wedding it was wrong, but how could I escape with everyone there along with my family and my mother, who would definitely cause a scene, and how so much I wanted to please her? So I thought I would just go through with it and try and make the best of it. We divorced within the first year, and I had to file bankruptcy due to all the debt he had run up in such a short period of time. In my middle 20s, having a successful job at a bank, they thought I had a college degree, I turned to the party life and fun to escape the junk I kept hidden and going on in my head. A couple of years down the line, with my financial background, I was asked to run a nightclub. Life was fast, fun, and crazy. Between the alcohol, the coke, the money, and being a manager of a successful rock and roll club in Cleveland, Ohio, I thought I truly had arrived. During this time, my mother was getting severely worse with her drugs and alcohol. At this point, she no longer trying to work at living, and daily in her drunken phone calls, she told me she wished she was dead. I tried desperately to talk to my relatives about her, but this was the family secret that no one wanted to address. One of the most devastating things happened to me during this period in my life was that I became pregnant. The father of the child did not want to have anything to do with me or the child after I told him. I completely shut down, allowing myself to feel no emotions, and went through with an abortion. I was never able to address my shame until a little over a year ago in my CR small group. With the strength and support of the women, I was able to say this out loud and let my heart feel the pain I had endured for a very long time. They were not shocked or looked at me in disgust. They lovingly opened their arms and hearts to my long-held pain. James 5:16 says, "Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed." When I was 27, a call came in from the Avon police. They had found my mother dead in her townhouse, believed to be a suicide from pills and alcohol. The burial was a huge fight between my brother and I, blaming each other who was at fault for this, and I blamed my mom for taking the easy way out. At this point in my life, I knew I could not stay in Cleveland, Ohio any longer. God gave me the strength and the insight to sell what little I had and the courage to seek out new life changes. My plan landed in Texas. Why? Because I wanted to see some cowboys. I saw them on the TV show Dallas. Luckily for me, I was able to land a good job at a stock brokerage house. They also thought I had a college degree too, and I fell right back into the party crowd. During this time, I met a man through mutual friends, and we were instantly attracted to each other and fell in love. He was from Germany, working in Texas at his uncle's company, and I was going to teach him the ways of being an American. In 11 months, I became pregnant. Many folks advised me not to go through with it. Something deep inside of me wanted this baby, and if I had to, I was resolved I could be a single mother. My daughter has grown up into such a beautiful young woman with caring values, a wonderful heart, and recently graduated from Texas Tech with a graphic design degree. She has made me proud to be her mom. He did go back to Germany when I was 6 months pregnant. I never saw him again, and he made no effort to ever see his daughter. When Shelby was around 4, I was dating a man who I thought I had a future with. He was very caring towards Shelby and me. My next worst nightmare came. I found myself pregnant. Just as the last one, he wanted nothing to do with this child and was more than happy to give me money for an abortion. I could not afford to raise another child on my own at this time in my life and became emotionally numb. How could I allow myself to be in this situation again? This became my secret that wore at my heart daily and never left my mind of the shame or guilt associated with this. But Psalm 34:18 reads, "The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and save those who are crushed in spirit." When Shelby was 5, I started dating a man. I was looking to escape the struggles of life. He seemed to have it all: the big house, 2 kids that needed to be saved from their uncaring mother, and I could make it all work. We got married, and I put blinders onto the stuff I didn't want to see. It was during this marriage my alcoholism hit its bottom. He was very abusive to me and always in rages due to not hitting the big one at the horse track or in Las Vegas. I wanted to leave desperately, but due to my drinking and lack of money, I was terrified. I tried my best to keep everything normal on the outside and protected my daughter against the ugliness of this situation. Still, I knew God was with me. Isaiah 41:10 says, "So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will hold you with my righteous right hand." As my alcoholism reached its bottom, one day in a drunken stupor, I hit my head on a dryer, and it was an awakening. I was becoming like my mother, and if I stayed in this place, I fear I would do to my daughter what my mother did to me. The thought scared me to death, or shall I say, scared me sober. I prayed hard to God, for God to allow me to get out of the situation and stop drinking. I know I needed to leave this physically and mentally abusive marriage to save not only myself, but my daughter. By God's grace, after this incident with the dryer, I have never picked up another drink. God gave me the ability to find a job that allowed Shelby and me to move into a 100-bedroom apartment with the help of my AA friends. And those times in the tiny apartment were some of the happiest times in my life. Not drinking was a struggle, but by God's grace, AA and good friends, I was able to get from one day to the next. The bold move saved my daughter's life. She was in 5th grade at the time, and I shuddered to think where she would be if I continued going down the path I was in. And I thank God every day for the grace of Him saving me. I am now going on 14 years of sobriety, and thank you, God, for this gift He gave me and the new life and mom He has given my daughter. At this point, I did a 180 and dove into my work environment. Finding out how quickly I could succeed, no longer hiding and lying about not having a college degree, I went to schools to advance my knowledge at a quick pace. I worked long hours and made myself the best person I could be in this business market. When I wasn't working, my whole life focus was on Shelby and her sports. Shelby at this time was my main focus, and rightfully so. She has seen so much abuse in my past marriage, not at her, but directed at me. I felt a deep sense of pain that circled around in my head that she had seen me being abused. Later on, I learned she remembered far more than I wish she had about my abuse and my alcoholism. Through the help and support of CR, I was able to talk to her and ask her for her forgiveness for the past I have put her through. To this day, my daughter and I are extremely close and are able to talk about everything and anything and everything. God has given me a wonderful daughter who was the best gift. The one dream I accomplished was being able to buy a house her sophomore year in high school. I was so proud that we finally had a home and that her life would be normal like her friends. While my daughter was in college, out of nowhere one day, I got a phone call. And it came from a friend I knew in Cleveland, Ohio, during my high school years. We never actually dated, but we knew each other. A year later, we decided to get married, and he relocated to Dallas from Ohio. After he moved down here and getting close to the day of the wedding, things started to get uncomfortable. But I just shoved that off to marriage jitters. We went through with the wedding surrounded by his children and my daughter. Things appeared to be perfect and normal, and we had a wonderful honeymoon. I was in love and he was my knight. Life finally would allow me to have a best friend and someone I could cherish the rest of the life God allows me on this earth. But when we came back to our life, slowly truth started coming out. I had no idea how much financial debt he was in, or the temper he could have, along with the jealousy and the thoughts he made up in his mind that I would be unfaithful. Later, I stumbled onto his addiction to pornography. He hid it for so many years. I think my husband felt that if I really knew all the secrets about him, there would be no way I would stay married. The more he denied, the madder I got. We tried marital counseling, and we got kicked out. All of my friends thought I was crazy to stay in this relationship. My life was heading to divorce court. All I could think about was my bad marital experiences that I had allowed myself to get back in the same situation. Though something deep in my heart told me to hang in there and seek God's help. We had to work mainly on a lot of hurts, hang-ups, trust, and my financial fears. I found out about CR through an AA friend. Originally, I started going for him, and I made it very clear that he better stick this out. I found out I needed CR just as badly as everyone who is sitting in these seats and has the courage to address their issues and accept Christ as the Lord of their lives for salvation and getting off the crazy spin cycle. CR has made me look at my values and appreciate all the things that God has done for me in my life. I realized that many of my problems I had in my life were the results of my own choices rather than trusting God. God was always there for me, but my fear kept me from being the main focus of my life. Today, I look at my life with both eyes open, giving God honor and glory for all the joys he has given me. Life is definitely a journey, and each day I am learning new things about myself, my marriage, and if I step out of the way and quit trying to control my destination and situations, that everything works out the way it should be. Through CR, Watermark, and our community group, God has worked amazing in our life. Our marriage of 3 years is growing stronger daily, through a close connection with God and each other. Trust is starting to come back into our lives, and joy is seeping back in. God is strengthening our marital bond as we both work closely with Him through Watermark CR Community Group and serving the Lord. Those of you here for the first time tonight, I want to remind you of the hope we have in the relationship with Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, God made him who had no sin to be the sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. And it is through our relationship with God that we will be changed. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do everything through him who gives me strength. I want to encourage you to stay strong to the Lord by staying focused on God, and you can get through everything. Thank you for allowing me to share my testimony with you tonight.